Hi, how you doing? Good to be with you. Welcome to the program. I don't know. How early is too early to drink? And I'm not talking about coffee or orange juice. Do you ever get up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed, which is a problem if your bed is up against the wall on one side? You get up, you go into the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you go, oh my God, look at that. Look at what I look like. When's it too early to drink? I don't know. I mean, I'm not an alcoholic by any stretch of the imagination, but there have been days when I don't know what the rules are, but I'm willing to break them. You know that old saying, it's 5 o'clock somewhere? I'm assuming that means that 5 o'clock is the earliest that you can start drinking. Well, I'm going to break all the rules. I think 5 in the morning is more applicable for some people. And I say that because Donald Trump doesn't drink, apparently. Oh my God, can you imagine if he did? This is Donald Trump with his full faculties in motion. Ooh, scary. If Donald Trump doesn't drink at all, and he acts like that, I'm going to drink. I'm going to be the opposite of Donald Trump, and therefore I will walk the golden path. If Trump doesn't drink, I will. If Trump is the Antichrist, then I must be Christ. I must be Jesus. That's not a bad gig. I'll take that. That kind of means I'm a good person, I think, is what from what I read in the books. I'll do everything the opposite of Trump. And who invented tweeting, by the way? Who was this person? I probably should be embarrassed by now. Whoever you are, Robert Tweet, I don't know. I don't know what your name is. But you better get out of my face, man, because I'm mad at you. Inventing tweeting so that the common everyday person, the angry, out of control expression of hatred can be exposed throughout the world. If people just tweeted nice things, that would be pleasant.
Oh, it's a lovely day today. The birds are tweeting. And the human race is wonderful. I love my grandchildren. Flowers are so pretty. The world is such a wonderful place.
That would be nice tweeting. I could get into that kind of tweeting because it makes you feel good. But the tweeting isn't like that at all. It's hate and disgust and fury and arguments and contradictions and blood. Tweeting's a horrible thing. Horrible thing. Thank God the president doesn't tweet.
You know, I tweeted today, at real Donald Trump, I tweet. And that's, you know, it solves them. Don't worry, I'll give it up after I'm president. We won't tweet anymore, I don't think. Not presidential.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, they're weird already.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. The pleasure is completely mine. Yeah, it is. I'll admit that to you. Well, we do this every single freaking weekday. Mm-hmm. Unless it's some kind of a big holiday where there's no mail. How do you know it's a big holiday? I ain't getting any mail. Oh, is the post office closed? Yeah, it's a big holiday. Didn't get any mail. What's your problem? What do you mean you get any mail? What kind of mail do you want? What's in the mail? There is junk mail, which by definition is junk. I know people that actually open up the junk mail. What a wasted effort that is. You know there's nothing inside. You know all they want is your money. But yet you open it anyway because, well, they went to the trouble of sending me something. No, they didn't. They didn't self-address the envelope, so with a pen.
Let's see, Betty Johnson, 273, Mile High Road.
No, it's automated. It's junk mail. It's junk. They want your money. They want your donation. They want your magazine subscription. They want something from you. It's junk mail. That's why they call it junk mail. Well, what else do you get in the mail that you're so excited about?
Oh, bills. Hey, look, invoices to things that I apparently bought or said that I would pay for. I can't wait to get those. Where's my checkbook? Where's my credit card? Let me pay these immediately.
Now, bills are never good. There's also notifications. Something's wrong.
Your car that you've been driving, it has no brakes. They could fail at any moment. We're going to do a recall. We suggest you do it quickly before your head goes through the windshield. Thank you.
Notifications. Things that are about to happen that are bad, we'd like to tell you about them. What else do you get in the mail? People don't correspond. You don't get a letter from a friend anymore. People don't send letters. They email you. Or they message you, or they twat you, whatever that's called. They don't send letters anymore.
Hi, Betty and I are in Florida. The ocean is blue, and it's wonderful. Wish you were here. We're about to go out to the early bird for a pastrami sandwich. Hope things are well back home. Bye.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks ago that they wrote that. What do you get in the mail that you want? What? Nothing. So if it's a big holiday and there's no mail, I love it. It's another day that I don't get a bill to pay for something or get buried in junk mail. It's a time to celebrate. How did I get onto that, by the way? I have no idea. Oh, I don't do the show on big holidays when there's no mail. That's what the point was. Now I remember. That seems like a century ago I was talking about that. I also want to acknowledge some of the people that helped put this show together. John Shanahan does the comedy commercials and the opening announcements and the things called the bumps, you know, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, that kind of stuff. He's amazing. He's amazing. John Shanahan. Google him. Then there's Jason Shaw, who composes the music for this program. All original stuff, originated by him, and performed by him. Jason Shaw, you're a hell of a guy, man. You're my kind of peeps, Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. Nicole Reed books a lot of the national interviews that we do, because I don't know how to do that, and she's the British person that you hear at the beginning of the program. That's Nicole Reed. Thank you, Nicole. And there are a bunch of other dudes that help us out with the program, so thank you very much. I play a very small role in this show. If you listen to the whole show, you'll understand how small my role actually is. And that's it. Coming up later in the program, very interesting interview. Very, very interesting interview. Did you ever look at your credit report? Yeah, there are like three major credit report companies, I think. I don't know. I think there's three. I'm not sure. So we're going to speak to actually a representative, an attorney who was there's a lawsuit. One of those credit reporting companies was giving out incorrect information. In other words, you go for a loan on a car and it comes back, well, you can't get the loan or your credit rating is lower, so your rate's going to be higher. Well, the information that came from this particular credit company was not accurate, was wrong. So lawsuits abound. You may be involved in this. So listen toward the end of the program. That interview should be very interesting for many, many people. That being said, and I did say it, so it was said, that was being said, we continue with this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Catchy little tune. Anyway, hi. Are you comfortable? Would you like a finger sandwiches? Would you want a finger sandwich? I love finger sandwiches. They're tiny little sandwiches. We've gotten into this mode of tiny little things in a world where we expect big things. There's a show on TV called Tiny House, and people actually move in from their regular size house, and they wake up one morning and they say, you know, our house is very, very nice. We have a lot of room. Let's live like little ants. Let's live so we can't raise our arms in order to stretch. Let's live in the tiniest house we can. Let's be as uncomfortable as possible. Let's live in a house that's, oh, maybe, let's say 12 square feet big. Let's make ourselves contort to actually exist. Let's make our house so small that we have to go outside to change our mind. And there are people like this. They have mansions. They have like 4,000 square foot houses. And they say, you know what? I feel like living in a tiny box, actually. I don't understand them. There's something wrong with them. Here, we want to scale down. That's not scaling down. That's scaling off the map. A lot of them want tiny houses the size of a trailer so that they can go from place to place in their house. You know, that's why they invented Ubers and taxis and cars. If you want to leave your house and go on vacation, what you do is you get in your car, you drive to the airport, and you go fly there. You don't take your freaking house with you. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you? Hey, whatever. When you go to a bar, they have little mini burgers now, little tiny hamburgers about the size of your fingernail. And have you ever had one of those? They're like one or two bites, and then you're supposed to be full. I don't know. What are you doing that for? The big hamburgers are too big. The small hamburgers are too small. They don't make anything in between. These are the people that live in tiny houses, by the way. These little, teeny little things. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm watching TV. I get very easily insulted because That's what I do for a living. If I don't get insulted or upset about something, then I can't talk about anything on this show. I would just pretty much describe how pretty the flowers are, and I don't think you'd really listen to me if I did that. If I talked about the flowers, how they give me allergies and are creating mucus, and when I sneeze, it gets all over my pants, and it's disgusting, and I can't go out in social situations because my nose is always running, and it goes down my throat, and I'm coughing like crazy, that you would listen to. So I have to find things to complain about. Well, I found it. I was watching TV, and commercials come on all the time for these little sold-on-TV items, the pans that don't scratch, you know, these tape that's waterproof and things don't leak, and, you know, little steps that you put in front of your toilet and helps you go to the bathroom, the squatty potty. They were a sponsor on this show years ago when they first invented this stupid thing. I think it was on Shark Tank or something, and then they, Baby Shark Tank, and then they actually advertised nationally, and they were a sponsor of ours at that time. And I made fun of them. I said, well, this is absolutely ridiculous. Why would I want to put a piece of plastic under my feet when I'm on the toilet trying to do a number two? And I found that, well, actually, my spleen is lined up perfectly, or whatever that thing is. And it is easier to go to the bathroom. So they've got to, Ron, stop. You really should be drinking early. So anyway, so I'm watching TV, and I started to notice a pattern, and I felt violated. Let me tell you what that pattern is. Everything sold on TV is $19.99 or $29.99 or $39.99. Everything is something 99. It's not $20. Oh, God, no. That would be far too much money. It's $19.99. I'm going to party like it's $19.99, but it's really $20. The psychology of trying to manipulate me to make me think it's actually now affordable because it's 1 cent cheaper than $20, you've got to think I'm an idiot. You've got to. These people sit around these large board tables in these companies, and what should we price this thing, Dick? Well, it's about $20. We can't sell it for $20. No one will buy it for $20. How about $19.99? Ah, that's the comfortable. There you go. They'll think it's under $20, and it is, by a cent, granted, but it sounds so much better to say $19.99 than it does $20. Why, the public is stupid, and they'll buy them like crazy, not realizing it's actually $20. Well, you didn't fool me. $39.99 is $40. Stop with your 99 crap. Stop pricing things out. With that night, if I ever see a price with something 99, I will say, you are playing me. You are trying to manipulate me. You're trying to trick me. I like honesty. How much is your thing? It's $19.23. That sounds real. I will pay that because that sounds real. It's $19.99. You're dicking with me. You're fooling with me. You made up that price to make me think that it was cheaper than $20. I'm not stupid. I don't do the 99 thing. They have like a restaurant called the 99 around here. I think it's a nationwide restaurant. I won't eat there because why don't you just call it 100? Why are you stopping at 99? What is wrong with you? Do you think that I'm going to go to your restaurant because you're one shy of 100? I don't even know what the 99 rep. I think it's like 99 reasons to eat at the restaurant. Couldn't come up with one more and even it off. Nope, 99 is all we could come up with. And there were 99 reasons, 100 reasons. I couldn't think of another one. Stop with this 99 thing. It's driving me crazy. 99. Round it off, man. 99 cents. Got to be kidding me. You don't go to the 99 cent store. You go to the dollar store. they at least are honest about it. Everything's a dollar. Nothing's 99 cents? No, it's a dollar. It's more expensive than that. It's a dollar. I think I told you so many times, when I want to fool with them at the dollar store, I walk in and I get something off the shelf, and I walk up to the cash register, and the lady says, "Yes." I said, "Can you do a price check on this, please?" She says, "This asshole, everything in here is a dollar." That's what it says on the store. What do you want a price check for? I don't know. I wanted to fool with you. You're fooling with me. I'll fool with you. Price check, please. It's a dollar store, you jerk. Price check, please. There's a store around here called Five and Below. And I thought, I didn't know what the store was about. Apparently it's items that are $5 or less. I thought like when you walk in there, it's like an ice bar where that's the temperature inside. And it's things you buy that require extreme refrigeration. I was wrong. So don't fool me with the 99 anymore. And my listeners to this show, we're more astute than that as well. Don't fool with your 19.99 or your 9.99. The worst offender of that is the gas station. The gas station. This has been going on forever, since I was born, which is forever. They take it a step further and really make it seem like we're idiots. Gas right now is about where I am, outside the Boston area. It's about $2.65 per gallon. But it's not just that. It's $2.65 and 9/10 of a cent. I'm serious. If you've forgotten that, go to the gas station after this show. Everything is 9/10 of a cent, no matter what the price is.
Your gas right now is $2.75 and 9/10 of a cent.
Who came up with this 9/10 of a cent thing? Were you delusional? Were you on drugs or pot or something? Did you start drinking at 5 o'clock in the morning like I'm suggesting? 9/10 of a cent? That's not even possible. I'm $19.99 in a store. That's physically possible. But $2.65 and 9/10 of a cent, that's physically impossible. Why are you doing this? Why doesn't somebody stop this? What kind of commotion would it take if they dropped the 9/10 of a cent off of the price of every gallon of gasoline forever? Can you explain this to me? Google machine that and see if you come up with anything. Let me know. By the way, if you want to contact me, there is a way to contact me. There'll be no response coming your way, but there is a way of contacting me. It's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you've written a book or you'd like to be guest on the program, good luck. I have little to do with that part. But if you have an idea or subject that you wish to be encroached upon this expose, then drop me a line. If you love the show, bathe me in compliments. If you don't like the show, why would you even bother? So, there you go. You know, I don't ask a lot. I basically don't ask anything. Things are kind of simple. Let's go to our guest, and we're going to do so right after this word. Do you like beer?
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience? Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Falkenhalter. It's beer.
Hi, good morning, Ron.
How are you today?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Great. I have E. Michelle Drake with us, and you're a shareholder in it's about a credit union, actually. The TransUnion, there was some stuff going on there for a while, I understand.
Absolutely. So I'm a lawyer, Ron, and I represent consumers. Uh-huh. And what we learned was that TransUnion, and actually Experian and Equifax also, were systematically reporting inaccurate information on people's credit reports. And in particular, they were reporting inaccurate information about people having tax liens, so owing taxes to the government, or having judgments on their record, like if you had been sued in court, for example, and you had a judgment against you.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, well, I was going to say, was this done in error as misreading data or some type of a glitch? What's the understanding situation? How did it occur?
It occurred for a bunch of reasons. So one way that it could happen was that someone might actually have a tax lien or a judgment, but they would pay it off.
Okay.
And TransUnion and the other credit reporting agencies would not report that it had been paid.
Okay.
So it would look like you were a deadbeat when really you weren't. They were a lot better at sort of gathering the data about the bad things people had done than about people paying their debts. The other way that it could happen is that they might attribute someone else's debt to you. And that's because public records don't always have Social Security numbers and dates of birth attached to them.
Oh.
And so the matching criteria were nowhere near as strong as they should have been.
So people could have actually been damaged greatly by this.
Absolutely they were. Credit is incredibly important, and it's not something people really think about until they need it, like when you're trying to buy your dream home or you need a new car. And then to suddenly be rejected based on something that's not true or something that doesn't even relate to you can be devastating, terrifying, depressing, and then you've got to go deal with a giant monolithic company to try to fix the problem.
How would one know if that occurred? Would you have known by actually applying for a loan of some sort and you turned down and you said to yourself, no, that doesn't make sense? Or how would you know if you were a victim of this or not?
That's the primary way that people would know, is if they had, experienced some kind of negative credit action. You can also always get a free copy of your credit report at annualcreditreport.com. And a lot of people review those regularly, which I really advise people to do. And you'll see the public judgment or public record information. But the good news is that we filed a lawsuit against TransUnion about these issues, and we settled the lawsuit. And so now there is a process for people who were affected by this problem to make a claim and to receive compensation.
How would I know how would I have proof that that were the case? Because if I were buying a car and one particular agency turned me down, they don't give me like a piece of paper saying you have been turned down. So how would I have proof of that?
So you'll know that you were turned down. They'll certainly tell you were turned down.
Yeah.
And then in many instances when people get turned down, they do go and request a copy of their credit report right away because they want to know what happened. But if someone thinks this has happened to them, as part of the settlement, the lawyers, my law firm and several other law firms, and we're all significant plaintiff-side class action law firms with plenty of resources and lawyers, we are providing free assistance to consumers throughout the claims process to help them gather records and make effective claims. So if you even think this may have happened to you, I really encourage people to go to the settlement website, which is www.tu, as in TransUnion, Public Records Settlement, ADR.com. There's a ton of information there. You can make a claim, and there's information about how to contact the lawyers who are working on this case free of charge to consumers. We've already been paid as part of the settlement, and part of what we were paid to do is to help people make claims, and we are really committed to that. We want to do it. We're enthusiastic about these cases. We believe in it, and we want to get consumers paid.
Now, usually in large settlement cases that involves large segments of the population, the settlement, you know, you end up with maybe $7. I mean, is it that kind of thing?
Absolutely not. People who can demonstrate that they were harmed by a TransUnion public record will receive an automatic payment of at least $1,500. And if you disputed it, like if you saw it on your credit report and you said, hey, that's not mine or that's not true, and TransUnion didn't fix it, then you get an additional $500. This is not a, you know, here's your check for 3 cents settlement. We don't do those kind of settlements, and they're not appropriate in this kind of a case.
Was TransUnion the only faction that is involved here, or were there other companies that were involved?
So Experian had similar issues, and there is a settlement with Experian. It came later, so it's not in the phase yet where people can make claims. And Equifax has also been sued on these issues. And I'm not in a position really to comment on the status as to Equifax.
Let me understand how that process works, though. If one reporting agency reports a certain faction, do the others pick it up as well, or are they all independent of their information?
So they do not get information from each other, but they often buy information from a central source. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is so terrific about the TransUnion settlement, though, is that they have agreed to completely stop reporting this information, accurate or not, for a period of 18 months. Okay. And then after that time period, there are very strict criteria that they have to abide by in order to begin reporting the information again.
I would assume they're not going to make that mistake again.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay. So now that everybody knows about this, the most important part of the information is, again, that website that we can go to and contact.
Absolutely. It's www.TU Public Record Settlement ADR.com. And ADR stands for Alternative Dispute Resolution. So it's TU Public Record Settlement ADR.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the information. That's big time stuff. So
thank you.
Thank you. You take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting. I learn things on this show. I don't just show up. I don't come here just to get extra use out of my pants. I'm here to learn, too. It's fascinating stuff. I'm out of time for today, because I have a life beyond this. I don't know about you. I'll be back again the next time a weekday rolls around, which could be rather quickly. Hey, here's just a parting word for you. Life is what you make it. Sounds weird coming out of my mouth, but it's true. Positive attitude, smile on your face, changes the world not only for everybody, but for you too. And support people that make things good. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.